This morning our scripture comes from the epistle of James, chapter 2, verses 14 through 26. If I stumble through this, I got new glasses this week, okay? And while I got bifocals last year, I became a man of a certain age, they increased their strength this time. And so I'm finding myself doing this, and everything is kind of blurry whenever I look right here, but not right here. And so if I stumble through this, forgive me. Or if I fall off the stage, pick me up, okay? James chapter 2, verses 14 through 26. James writes, "What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, keep warm and well fed,' but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, 'You have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds.' You believe that there is one God? Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. You foolish person, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, 'Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend.' You see that a person is considered righteous by what they do, and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead." The word of God for the people of God. Will you all pray with me? Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing to you. Give us eyes to see the world the way that you see it. Give us ears to hear your voice and hearts to receive what you would give us today, and then make us bold. Make us bold as we go out into our world to live as your hands and feet. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we have just 3 weeks left in this series, Practically Christian, What Matters? And some of you all are going, "Oh, all the end already," and others are going, "Finally, the end already." And admittedly, we've talked about how we live in a world that seems to be driven by PC, politically correct culture. Or perhaps our world is driven by opposing sides, one which desires to be very PC, politically correct, and the other desires to be the opposite of that. And depending on which side of the political spectrum you find yourself, you're probably pointing the finger. However, we're called to be in the world, but not of the world. We're called not to be like the world. We are not to desire to be like others who are in the world. We're not called to be PC, politically correct. We're called to be PC, practically Christian. And by doing so, I believe that we are naturally going to become culturally sensitive and other-centered. Meaning, we won't say things that diminish other people, and we won't do things that harm our brothers and sisters. During the series, we've been asking questions. What matters to God? Does what I value also, does God value the same thing? In other words, does what I say matter to me also matter to God? And I don't know about you, but I've wrestled with these questions, because many times in my life I find an inconsistency in what I say I believe and how I act. I don't always do what I say I believe. I'm a hypocrite. I'm fickle. Maybe that's just me. I've wrestled with these questions because sometimes I struggle at loving God. Sometimes I struggle at listening to God, at speaking the truth, at being a part of community. Sometimes I question my leadership because I know it matters to God. Sometimes I wrestle with my obedience and surrender because God made me fiercely independent. That is a nice way of saying I am stubborn. Sometimes I don't pray as often as I should. I'm not as generous as I should be. I worry about me. And if I give up what I have, will I have enough? Will I be able to not get what I need, but do the things that I want? And although family matters to me, it is a value within our household. Other priorities sometimes creep in. So that what I say I value does not get lived out by the priorities that I set. And so this series has been particularly challenging for me. Today we're focusing on doing good. Doing good matters. And this chapter, or this passage in James, is perhaps one of the most challenging passages in Scripture. Doing good matters. Now, before you English experts slam me, I am aware that I'm supposed to do well. Okay? I get that. We've been reminded every week that John Wesley, an early Methodist, when they started this movement, Methodism was never a denomination. It was a movement of people. John Wesley wanted to put religion in the hands of the people. Because at the time that he preached, at the time that he was in ministry, religion or Jesus Christ or God was reserved for the upper echelon of society. Why? Because everyone else worked 7 days a week. There was no time for worship. They had to work 7 days a week to survive. And so Methodist people were particularly concerned about people experiencing God's grace so they could grow in their knowledge and love of God through disciplined Christian living. They placed a primary emphasis on Christian living, putting their faith and their love into action. It's what Wesley referred to as practical divinity. Our faith is supposed to not only influence what we think, but also what we do. Meaning, it should not just be something that we think about on Sunday, but rather should be something that we live out Monday through Saturday. Our faith should really be something that we are, not something that we do. It should permeate every area of our lives. Our home, our workplace, our relationships, our finances, our morals, our values, our behavior. And when we began the sermon on prayer, I told you that was where the rubber meets the road, because the depth of one's prayer life is often a primary indicator of the depth of one's faith life. If that was where the rubber meets the road, then this is where the feet hit the street. This is where your feet hit the street, because doing good matters. John Wesley had this saying, do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can. And although I have no proof, I believe that John Wesley based this saying on Paul's letter to the Galatians. Chapter 6, we find Paul writing, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. Man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. And whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good. At the proper time, we'll reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. See, the Christian life is really not that complicated. Jesus summed it up for us. Love God, love others. we express our love for God by practically living out our faith and actively loving other people, by doing good for people, by doing good to people, and by doing good with people. See, in Christian circles, inside the church, somewhere along the line, I think, and I may be wrong, it happens often, but we have come to value more what we think and less what we do. In other words, we seem to justify inaction or no action or even bad behavior because of what we say we believe. It's okay because for too long the church has placed a greater emphasis on right thinking and not enough of an emphasis on right doing. Perhaps that's what led us to the place that we are in our world. Because I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but the church no longer has the stump in the public square. The world no longer looks to the church as the moral authority. The world views the church as insignificant. To those outside of our church, we're just another social club that gets together occasionally when it's convenient, recites our little club slogans, sings our little club songs, and reads from our little club book. And then we go out there and live like everybody else. We're just another charitable organization that wants your money so that we can fund our cause. To many people, the church does not play a valuable role in our society. The world does not see us as making a valuable contribution to the lives of everyday people. To the world, the church is unnecessary. See, inside the walls of our church, inside our Christian circles, where many of us live our entire lives, we value proper theology. Good theology. And theology is just a fancy word for saying thinking about God. We value thinking about God. But outside of the walls of the church, outside of our Christian circles, the world values action. The world doesn't care what we think. They care about what we do. They're watching what we do. You ever heard the saying, no one really cares how much you know until they know how much you care? They don't care what we think. They care what we do. What good is it to tell people about the love of God if you don't actively show them the love of God? Proper theology, if it's only thought and not lived, is useless. Right thinking, if not accompanied by right living, is worthless. It's meaningless. It's what James is writing whenever he pens these words. You say you have faith. Show me your deeds. Faith, if not accompanied by works, is dead. Best example I have for this is going to be put on the screen. We put that on the screen, can we? Yeah. I don't know if you can read that or not. Can you read that? Can you see that? So, let's read this together. Snoopy looks kind of cold, doesn't he? I'll say he does. Maybe we should go over and comfort him. Be of good cheer, Snoopy. Yes, be of good cheer. And then they walk off, and Snoopy's got this question mark. Because he's still cold. And we laugh. We laugh. But this is the reputation that we have as a church, maybe not this one specifically, I'm talking the greater church, has in the world. Be of good cheer. Jesus loves you. But I don't want to bother with you. And don't misunderstand me. Susan was very clear with the kids. We're not talking about earning your salvation by doing good deeds, because we believe that our salvation comes through the grace of God by faith. We're saved by faith. The unmerited favor of God is lavished on us because of faith in Jesus Christ. It lies in a person, not an action. However, once we receive that person into our hearts, it should fill us up to the point of overflowing. It should motivate us to do good works for the sake of doing good. We are the living gospel of Jesus Christ. You and me are the living gospel of Jesus Christ. James bluntly said, if your faith doesn't motivate you to act, to live it out, then you have no faith at all. That's kind of harsh, isn't it? Is that a judgment call? We're not supposed to judge in the church. But James is pretty clear. If your faith doesn't motivate you to act, then you have no faith at all. Faith without works is non-existent. We cannot earn God's love because it is not for sale. It's not a commodity. It's traded away to the highest bidder. It's freely given and freely received. But once you freely receive it, then you decide what you're going to do with it. See, the world's a mess. It's always been a mess. Because sin always makes a mess. But thankfully, we serve a God who entered into our mess. And that same God uses our feet to walk into the mess that others find themselves in. That same God uses our hands to wipe the mess off the faces of others. That same God uses our arms to lift people out of the mess that they find themselves in. Do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can. The world does not need more benevolent acts by a charitable organization. There are plenty of charitable organizations out there that are willing to take your money and do benevolent acts. The world needs Jesus Christ. And they will only meet him through you and me. Doing good will change lives. Doing good will actually move people from death to life. Doing good matters. Doing good matters. The world doesn't need more benevolent acts by charitable organizations. The world needs Jesus Christ. And the world will only meet him through you and me, because we are the living gospel of Jesus Christ that is still being written.